morning. Seems like Robert's been gone forever. Well, we had a different idea for today's service, and if you'll notice, we've moved along really quite well, and I'm up here a little early, and the reason for that is we're planning on doing kind of like a missions survey today for our lesson. I'll be speaking for just a little bit, then after I get done with this introduction, then John Kakis will come up and he'll give us an overview of what our missions that we support is, and then after that, we'll have another song, and then right following that, Pete and Jim will come up and talk to us a little bit about Ben and Danny, and what they're about to be going into the field and doing, and covering some things about what's going on in their ministry right now. And then I'm going to come up and give the invitation. But I chose the passage that Jeremiah read for us, Psalm 51. David was in the midst of a crisis in his life. He had just committed adultery. He had just committed murder. He had a lot of sin weighing down on his heart. And when he penned these beautiful words of Psalm 51, he makes this decree of, Lord, don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your spirit from me. Take out my old heart and put in something brand new. Show me the joy of your salvation. And when you do, I will show transgressors your ways. When you do that for me, I will sing your praise. We, as Christians, when we gather together, sometimes it is very easy for me to fall into complacency about my Christianity. That I don't realize what God has really done for me. That He, by giving His Son, saved my soul from hell. And if we truly become committed within ourselves to what God has done for us, our only response is to share the gospel with those around us. Our only response. You look at Isaiah in Isaiah 6. The exact same things. He comes into the presence of God and his sin is forgiven. And the first thing he says, here am I, Lord, send me. Now we do not all have the same gifts. Not everyone here has the gift of studying really well. Not everyone has the gift of speaking. Not everyone has the gift of being able to travel to a foreign country and do things for the Lord. But we all have the ability to support the gospel and its spread throughout the world. If you will turn to Romans chapter 10. Starting in verse 11, Paul, in discussing the Jews and the Gentiles and how they are both fallen and the mindset that they have, but yet that each of them are saved by grace through faith, says in verse 11, for the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on Him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So Paul starts, well, he doesn't start, this is a continuation of a thought, but he says that whoever believes in God, they won't be disappointed. You put your faith in God, and He will not disappoint you. Continues on and said, because God loves everybody. And it doesn't matter who you are, if you put your faith in Him, He has grace for you. Because He is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't favor one more than He favors another. He has done everything He can so that anyone who wants to believe in His name can be saved. But then Paul poses some questions in verse 14. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? For it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of good things. Now we have a growing church here. And we have a mission set forth through the gospel interpreted by our elders of making disciples internally and externally. Internally in this congregation and externally into this community, but also into the world. And today we're going to start off with John. And he's going to share a little bit about how we're going about the work outside of our area here. About the preachers that we are supporting who are sharing the gospel in the other parts of the world. So if you would, John.
Well, there's certainly a lot of stuff to go over, so hopefully I'll be able to touch all the bases and get everything in, but kind of in a little bit of an overview for visitors, anybody new here. My name is John Katkus, deacon, overseeing and kind of behind the scenes on mission support, mission work here for the congregation. And looking back over a period of time, say like maybe 15 years ago, our mission involvement basically was zero. Everything that we did here was basically just, you know, to keep our heads above water, keep the lights on, so to speak, and not much else. But in the course of the last several years, that mission has changed. The outreach has grown to the point where we've been involved now for several years with other congregations helping support their mission work. And basically, we have four main missions that we are actively involved with supporting around the world. And briefly, those are through Cedar Key Church of Christ. We help them with their support of a congregation in Magadan, Russia. Through University Church of Christ, Las Cruces, New Mexico, we help them in the support of Rick Owens, who helps build church buildings for new and upcoming congregations in Mexico. So in that part of the work, there's already a congregation established. They just don't have a building yet. So what Rick does is he's the guy that coordinates and helps those congregations get a physical building built. And he's just a go-getter, going 90 miles an hour on that. And third is African Christian Schools, which is overseen and work with the through Nashville, Tennessee, which they operate, run four schools in Africa, two in Nigeria, and I forget the other countries offhand, but kind of obscure little places. And they've been established since 1954 on their oldest school. And they've the second most recent one was 1999. And both of those schools are in Nigeria. There's the third one that was opened in the 1990s, which is still small, but it's still growing, expanding, getting itself established. And they have a fourth one where it's getting off the ground. And it basically, it's centered on Bible teaching, preaching school. The first two schools also offer education in English and some other basic type of college courses, so it's a little bit broader. And good thing about that particular school foundation is all the instructors there have to be members of the Church of Christ. They don't just take anybody in as members. And again, the board of directors is Church of Christ members and overseen by the congregation in Nashville. And fourth, Meadowview Church of Christ in Mesquite, Texas, as they support a couple of missionaries in Indonesia, and very remote area, to say the least. And they've been at that for quite a few years and have made quite a contribution there. And again, in preaching schools to help the locals in their language. And I've got the list of websites and stuff if ever anybody wants to check up on that and find out the updated information. One thing that's kind of interesting on the Meadowview Church of Christ website, you click on their missions tab, they have a recording of the congregation singing in their local language, which certainly can't understand the words, but you can recognize the tune. So if you want to check that out, get with me later. I can give you those websites. So anyway, that's from where we've gone, or where we've been, and where we're at now, and where we're going to go is... That's quite awesome when you look at the growth curve. I think it really is going to be amazing because, like I said, to go from nothing in just 15 years to where we're at now and the amount of work and outreach that we have grown into, everything from these other congregational missions that we support, where I don't think it'll be too much longer before we start out on our own mission work that we sponsor ourselves, because when you look at how many of our members are now getting directly involved in it themselves, everything from our young adults in AIM that it's been going on now for several years to our individuals that have recently gone out to Cambodia. I mean, that is a huge leap. And when you look at, I was thinking this earlier as maybe the metaphor, what is our mission? You know, to reach the lost and spread the word of Jesus and make sure that people understand that and know that. And the old TV show Mission Impossible, is it an impossible mission? Absolutely not. I think it's that's where things different. As it said on the TV show, your mission, should you choose to accept it, well, we don't really have a choice because we all are part of it. And that's one nice thing about missions is that everybody really is a part of it, whether you're directly involved in the field work, or you're helping your neighbor and talking with your neighbor and being the example, a Christian example, a Christ-like example to friends and neighbors. We are all involved in mission work, really, one way or the other. And it's I guess, it's certainly one of the nice things about that part of the field. And also, one of the other nice things that's not part of the TV show, should anybody ever be caught or caught in the act of the Mission Impossible, the agency does not devour any knowledge of our involvement. Our agency head is certainly proud to have us involved, and it's been a pleasure for myself to be involved. And again, when you look at where we plan on going and growing through this congregation as we grow, I think it's really going to be an incredible amount of work as we have extra numbers, and the outreach is, it's really going to be quite impressive, I think, to where we're going to be. And I think that pretty much covers it, except from where we're at and where we're going. And again, keep in mind in prayer for not only mission work for the people that we support, but any work that you do on your own, be it your neighbors, friends, family. And it doesn't have to be around the world. It can be our neighbors right next door to us. And especially keep in mind our AIM students that are there now, those that will be going. And I also ask prayers for my son Mike, who's down in Belize on a school-sponsored mission trip. He'll be down there for a week as about 15 of that members of that high school went down to do various outreach-type work. And they should be coming back this coming Thursday. So I think that pretty much wraps it up. And again, if anybody has any questions, feel free to give a call, visit CB.
Wow. And they're going back now.
true.
Numbers are staggering.
Mm-hmm. And especially when you look at, as I always like to say, is when you figure out the number of people that you touch here now, but when you start thinking about over time, the number of people, lives that are touched and involved, it just becomes staggering as one person teaches another, teaches another, teaches another. And the work, everything that we do from not just the money contribution, but our own personal work, it's amazing how that can grow and develop. So anyway, I hope that pretty much gives you a good overview of where we're at, what we're doing. And again, if you have any questions, please feel free to get in touch with me. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother John. Number 702. 702. Sometimes we get a mindset about this song that this is a children's song. Well, children love it because it's so true. And they are our future, as we're talking about today. The missions we have here in our own congregation are our children.
Maybe you recognize this guy here on the front page of the newspaper this morning, at least the Valley Sports section. I don't know if you've heard, but Wasilla won state basketball championships last night. That's right, championships, boys and girls. And that comes hard for me, who am generally a Colony fan. However, I was glad to see Wasilla do so well, particularly because Jeremiah plays on the team. And you'll note Jeremiah, I believe, is a humble young man, as much as a senior in high school can be, because he didn't wear his Letterman's jacket up here when he read the scripture this morning, which some people would be tempted to do. Yeah, I was watching the news last night, 10 o'clock news, Channel 2, saw Jeremiah sink a three-pointer, saw Aunt Collins. I don't think she's here this morning, so I can say anything I want to, but Aunt Collins, bigger than life, holding up a poster. I can't remember what it said, something about red tide or something like that, something intimidating anyway. And obviously it worked, because they did very well on the team, with the team playing Colony last night. I have to wonder, sometimes, you ask the question, why do people who weren't even at the game act like they were actually out on the court? They're so excited about somebody winning a basketball game. They weren't there, but you would think they were actually out there like Jeremiah playing the game. And I think it's because you like to see people do well. The people you know and care about, you like to see them do well in whatever it is they're doing. And that's the case with Jeremiah and the Wasilla team. Maya will probably tell you that it's a team effort. I mean, there's a lot of coverage there. He's got a lot of photographs in the newspaper this morning, but he'll probably be the first to tell you it's a team effort. It takes coaches, and it takes the people on the sidelines, the fanatics like Ant and others who are there. And maybe even folks, folks like me who sat at home and especially made an effort to watch the news to see what happened so I could see that they had won the game. And about this point, you're probably wondering, well, what's that got to do with Ben and Danny and Aim? And I'll tell you what it got me to thinking about was that how our relationship, here compares to that whole basketball analogy. I mean, you might look at Ben and Danny as being the players out there on the court shooting those three-pointers. And you might look at those of you, and there are many of you, who have supported Ben and Danny both financially. I mean, with either that one-time support we did early on about 8 months ago, or even monthly. Because as John pointed out, the church here, the congregation, does a lot of different things in terms of foreign mission work. And yet Ben and Danny, and probably in the past, as participants in the Adventures and Missions program, they're not a line item, budget item, so to speak, within the church budget. They're supported by individuals here in the congregation. And I'll tell you, that he appreciates that, and I appreciate that greatly. And so, you know, those people are like the fans. They're right at the game, shouting and holding up the posters. And then there are the others who take the time to think about Ben and Danny in their prayers, who specifically ask that they do well as they've been in this classroom environment, or that they do well as they are out there on the field, which they'll be going out on the field within a month or so. Those that ask us, you know, how are they doing? What can we do to help them? Those are like the folks, you know, may not be at the game, but you're there at home concerned or wondering how the team's doing. You care about what's happening to them. And so you ask the questions and you say the prayers. And all those things collectively together allow Ben and Danny to, you know, play the game on the court. And I'll tell you, as far as analogies go, that's a fairly awesome one, but I don't think it's true. Not at all. I don't think that's an accurate analogy. That's one of those areas where human wisdom falls short. Because the reality is, and I think it's kind of been said this morning, is you're on the court. You're on the team. You're not just sitting on the sidelines rooting them on. Everything you do, and I think this is borne out in Jesus' words to his disciples, everything you do places you on the court of play. You're part of the team. You're involved. Jesus told him, in talking about the judgment, Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 25, verses 31 and following, he says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when do we see you a stranger, invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When do we see you in sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer them and say to them, 'Truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these my brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.'" Jesus tells the people that every aspect of what you do for his brothers, even the least of them, is just as if you're doing it for Christ himself. The things we do here, you know, whether it's prayer, whether it's monetary support, letters encouraging them while they're on the field, not just Ben and Danny, but any of these works that we're involved in, it's just like doing it for Christ. You are part of the team. Now, I'll just take a minute to, you might ask, you know, well, Ben and Danny will be here in a week or two, so why can't they get up and tell these things themselves? And they probably will. I'm sure they will have a lot of things they want to tell you about where they're at and what they're about to do. But the reality is there are things that need to be done right now. I mean, we can't even wait 2 weeks to start that. And there are things that I can tell you and Jim can tell you that they might not tell you. And there are ways that you can help that will have a serious impact on their ability to work in the field, to actually go out into the field. Ben is at the point, and Danny too, where they're actually wrapping up that 8 months of the classroom session at AIM. They're almost finished with their studies. Even this week, they're working with each of their teams, have gone out to individual congregations in Texas, and they're working without their AIM advisors that have worked with them in the past. I think it's called Challenge Week, the AIM Challenge Week. So they're working with the church as a team now on their own this week, kind of a practice, I suppose, before they go into the field. Ben, in order to get onto the field in Mexico, we'll need $3,500 to cover the costs of, I think it's visa and language training and things like that. So he has sent out letters to about 25 or more congregations to try to raise that one-time support to carry him into the field. And it would seem like the first thing I would, you know, the easiest thing to do would be to say, "Hey, can you help Ben financially?" But the reality is what you can do now, what I'm asking you to do this morning, is keep him fervently in your prayers, that those letters reach churches where there are, you know, where there are looking for a work, where their budget allows them to do something. Because the reality is, even as a congregation here, we support several mission areas, as John pointed out, but we also get requests, and our budget, you know, has its limits. We can't support every good work that comes along. Neither can those churches that Ben and Danny reach out to. That's the reality. The first time that we sent letters out in order to help, you know, support Ben while he's there at Lubbock, there were three responses to, you know, somewhere around 30 letters. Two of those were you know, able to support Ben. One of them were kind enough to at least say that their budget limited them and they could not. Three responses out of 25 or 30. That's the reality. That's how it works. That's true for any missionary doing any kind of work out there. I think the difference is you can pray that the letters get to the right people, to the right circumstances, and that's what makes the difference. We just shoot the letters out there like any kind of mailing campaign. You know, the responses will be whatever they are. But if you get God involved, it makes the difference. Last thing, I'm taking up more time than I think I was allotted. Ben and Danny are going to be here for, you know, a couple weeks before they go out onto the field. So I'm not sure how to say this. I want to be diplomatic. The things you say to them while they're here impact on them, on their morale, so to speak. Probably the biggest sacrifice that Ben is making is leaving Alaska. I mean, if you asked him, that would probably be it, because, you know, his friends are here. You're his family. He feels strongly about that. And he likes Alaska. So just, you know, be encouraging to Ben and Danny before they go out there into the field. When you're, be conscious of the things you say. Nobody says things to try to discourage people, but if you tell Ben, oh, boy, you're sure going to miss the fishing season this year. You're not going to be with us when we go out on this halibut trip in June. You know, that you may not think about it, but that has a very strong impact. I mean, that's a, you know, it's almost like Peter telling Jesus, may it not be so. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Think about the things you say when you talk to these guys, because it has an impact on their morale. It has an impact on what they're thinking. You know, you can either encourage them, lift them up, or inadvertently, you know, make them reconsider what they're doing, draw them down. In any case, what I really want to leave you with is that Tammy and I know Jim and Lori, we greatly appreciate your help. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. The influence that this church has had on these two kids over the years is incredible. I mean, I told you 8 months ago when we came back from Lubbock, I had no idea. Ben went down to Camp Adventure with no intentions of being involved in AIM. He came back, he had decided to go. The Ben that comes back in a few weeks is vastly different than the Ben that left 8 months ago. Just incredible. I expected that, and yet it still boggles my mind. And it's greatly because of things that you've done to influence his life. So, you've influenced Ben and Danny. You've influenced Mike. You continue, without even realizing it probably, to influence people. Everything you do has an impact, and I would just encourage you to keep that up. Thank you.
Well, on that note, thank you, brother. I feel pretty blessed to have a brother that can speak everything I was thinking. Without much left to really go off of, ditto. That was very well spoken. How can you top that? And what he's saying is very much true for the encouragement for these young adults that are heading out into the field and to do the mission work, to spread the word of God. It's very important that when they come back here, just show them the love and the gratitude that I know I feel, I know you guys feel, that they're going out there to do this work. And that's with all the missionaries, Brother Steve, Lauren, Penny, Bruce, I don't see Bruce ass here, Brother Bruce, Sister Amanda, all our missionaries, there's many more, I'm sorry if I forget your names. You know, they all need the encouragement that we can give them and the support, prayer, financial, whatever it's required, and God will provide. I have, like most old guys, they told me last week I was going to do this, and I put it off, and then I forgot about it. And yesterday they told me, hey, remember, you're going to go up here and do this. So then I procrastinated some more, and I got up and I wrote this really fast. So it really doesn't make any sense to me now after what Pete's read. So I'll just tell you, I got a letter for Danny, and I'll put it on the bulletin board over there. And I'm going to just say a prayer, if you guys would bow with me. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, Father, we are so blessed in this country to have the ability and the freedom to go out into the world and spread your word. Father, we thank you for blessing the soldiers of this country to give us this freedom. And we thank you so much for your son and the encouragement and the love and the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice that he gave for our salvation and to be able to spend eternity with you. Father, we lift up these missionaries. Father, we pray that you can grant them all that they are need and to go out and do your work, Father, and do the work of the church, of the family. Father, we ask these in your son's most holy and precious name. Amen.
A couple of things left. Jeff and Beth are not able to be here, but Jeff wrote this out for me to read to you. Speaking about Camp Adventure, I know Mike got up last week and said just a little bit about how awesome it was and about his decision to go to AIM next year. But we've had quite a few who've come back from Camp Adventure and spoke about how truly wonderful it was. And I asked Jeff, if you would, to write down, well, I asked him to say a few things about what actually goes on while you're there. And since he wasn't going to be here today, he just wrote this. So, Camp Adventure 2007. Camp Adventure is a time twice a year especially designed for high school juniors and seniors, as well as college-age men and women who are even a little bit curious about AIM and want to find out more. It is a time to come and live with the current AIM students and find out what it is really like. You'll be involved with them in great Bible study, community service projects, and some good old fun. This year, the theme was Sink to the Top, taken from James 4:10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. It was a kind of confusing at first. How does someone sink to the top? But as days progressed, it all came into focus. AIM truly is an awesome and life-changing opportunity, but it does require taking that first step of faith. Our time down in Lubbock at AIM was truly an encouraging and challenging time, not just for the kids, but for everyone involved, Sunset staff, AIMers, AIM assistants, and campers alike. We were fed from God's Word daily, lifted up in songs and worship, best favorite part, and pushed out of our comfort zone by some of the service work and activities. We had an awesome speaker from the Grass Valley congregation in California by the name of Eli Hooper. His lessons were right on target and challenged us all to examine our commitment to the Lord and our mission as Christians. The first night at Camp Adventure is probably the most exciting and inspiring due to the fact that the annual AIM graduation ceremony is held in conjunction with Camp Adventure. No small coincidence. The graduation is where the current AIMers have returned from their field time and will officially complete their commitment to AIM. So we were participating in the class of 2004's graduation. They were all individually recognized along with where they were serving the Lord in the mission field. Also recognized were the current AIM class that Ben and Danny are in, all the AIM assistants, I believe 21 or so, and all the Camp Adventure campers, close to 90, said to be the largest Camp Adventure class to date. As each group was announced, they were asked to stand up and line themselves along the wall of the Powerhouse Gym. This is a multi-purpose full-size gymnasium used by Sunset and AIM for various events. After everyone was in place, all four walls of this gym were full from one end to the other with teenagers and young adults that were all taking part in AIM in one form or another. It was so refreshing to see that many members of the younger generation working for and serving our Lord. AIMers take part in chapel every morning before they start their day. Chapel is usually held in the flag room. This is where the flags of every nation that are displayed, from every nation are displayed, and you can see where AIM or SIBI students have been and where they are yet to go and preach the gospel. It's very encouraging to see that there are 3 to 4 times more nations that the gospel has been preached to than not. Lord willing, the number grows every year. The campers were privileged to take part in chapel every morning alongside the AIMers. They heard some inspiring lessons. Our campers spent all week living, studying, and praying with the current AIMers in their apartments. This proved to be challenging since the apartments were intended to hold 3 at most, and every apartment had anywhere between 3 to 6 more extra bodies in them. You can imagine how trying to shower, dress, eat, and get everyone out the door on time every day it was. This was just another type of training for what some may encounter out on the mission field. The campers got to work alongside the AIMers in various service work projects, ranging from visiting a children's home to assisting a stranger with some neglected housework. There were fun activities, too. They went roller skating, played basketball, volleyball, and just took some time to fellowship with one another. On the last night of Camp Adventure, there was even a talent show where anyone who wanted could get up and perform something. It proved to be a very good show, and there were actually some very talented AIMers there. You all need to ask Ben about pistols and petunias. The week culminated with a baptism shortly after the talent show. We all rejoiced with the angels for our new sister in Christ. AIM is a remarkable program that began as a dream of a few Sunset members back in the early 70s. This dream is now a reality that has passed and touched so many people's lives and nations all over this planet. It is responsible for bringing countless souls to Christ and altering the future of numerous young adults that thought they had their lives all planned out, but the Lord had a different path chosen for them. AIM has profoundly touched many members of this congregation and will continue to affect our outlook on mission work as they are sending out willing workers to preach the gospel to all nations. You can visit our church website and go to the Youth tab and see great slideshows from the last 2 Camp Adventure trips. You can also visit the AIM website, www.aimsunset.org, for more information. I don't know about you, but I've been really encouraged today by the things that have been said. John, Pete, and your sincere heart in praying for us, Jim. We have a serious mission. This is a serious mission. This is serious business to be in the business of saving souls. And that's what we do. That's what Christians are for. We touch people's lives. And if you look at, I remember there was a congregation in North Georgia, Fort Overthorpe Church of Christ. Above the exit door, above the door as you go out, it said, "You are now entering the mission field." So every time you leave worship service, it tells you where you're headed out to. Each one of us are on a mission field. And this congregation here, we have so many people coming in and leaving. And even since Amanda and I have been here over the almost 3 years, there have been, this whole congregation has changed in dynamics just because a lot of people have left and a lot of people have moved in. We influence the people who you're sitting next to. You influence everyone here in this congregation. And whenever Jeremiah leaves to go to college, wherever that is, or whatever he has in plan, then he's going to affect people, and they're going to see this congregation reflected in him. Whenever Ben and Danny are out wherever they are, this congregation is reflected by what we've done for them. when people look at the Scots that left last year, or whenever each and every one of us go out to visit family down south. Robert, he was telling me about, they asked him to preach at the congregation where his mother had just gotten baptized at. And they said that whole congregation was affected profoundly by just the Kenning family being there with them. We affect people in every aspect of our life, whether it be our families that are afar, or whether it be the people who we work with today. And Paul, in continuing the thought in Romans, before he began the discussion and the questions about preaching, he said in verse 8, "The world is near you. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." With our mouth, in our daily lives, we should preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. We should preach that God raised him from the dead and has for us salvation if we believe. And as we live our lives as Christians, one day, our actions, when we stand up for Christ, someone will come up to and ask you. Someone will ask you, "Why do you do the things that you do? Why do you act the way that you act? Why do you believe the things that you believe?" And just like 1 Peter 3:15 talks about, we can give an answer for the hope that is within us. We have that opportunity. We as Christians should be bold in our reaching out for people. But if you believe today, if there is anyone here who is outside of Christ, who has not put on the name of Jesus, but yet you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that God raised him from the dead, and that his blood will cleanse you from all of your sin, you can begin a life anew. All you need do is be baptized for the remission of your sins and walk in the newness of life. Or if you've fallen in your step, if you have not been as committed as what you should be in your service to the Lord, you can renew yourself today. As we look at our mission as a church and what we're doing to touch the lives of people around us, if you feel like you want to be a part of that and be more committed to God, then do so today. We'll pray with you and we'll do whatever we can to help you out. But we need to know. We have to have the information. If you have it in your heart and you want to recommit to God, come forward and let us help you with that as we stand and sing.